On Gaza Corner tonight, I'd like to remind you of a statement that Trump made when he was running for office. You may recall this. He was on the campaign trail, and he was asked, "What's your strategy for defeating the Islamic State?" I'll refer to the Islamic State from now on as IS. Trump said he would, quote, "bomb the SHIT out of them." And the U.S. military under Trump has done exactly that in recapturing Mosul and also in its quest currently to rid IS from Raqqa, the capital of its dwindling self-proclaimed caliphate. This strategy of annihilation as opposed to attrition comes at a horrible cost. And that cost is human life. During the nine-month battle to retake Mosul, more than 40,000 civilians were killed and as many as 1 million people were displaced from their homes, according to intelligence reports revealed to the independent UK newspaper. It's detailed by Patrick Coburn in a July 20th Counterpunch piece that's titled "The Massacre of Mosul, More Than 40,000 Civilians Feared Dead." It's unimaginable that this is real. On June 6th, the official war on Raqqa began, and the U.S. doubled down on its war on civilians. 95% of the airstrikes on Raqqa are being conducted by the United States. So to call it a coalition is really misleading. Civilians are being killed at a devastating rate due to a combination of airstrikes, mortar attacks by the SDF, which is a Kurdish Arabic ally of the United States doing the ground fighting, and also hundreds of U.S. Marines who are participating in the mortar attacks, and also civilians are being killed by IS. A Guardian UK article from yesterday, August 11th, linked at the Tangents homepage and on the playlist, reported that UN officials have raised questions about the U.S. commitment to protect civilians amid the loosening of the rules of engagement under President Trump. Trump demanded that the Pentagon lessen the standard of protection for civilians on the battlefield to only what is specifically required by international law. And that represented a major shift from decades of U.S. military doctrine, which has generally made central the protection of civilians in war. Air Wars, which is an organization, airwars.org, that tracks casualties in Iraq and Syria due to airstrikes, estimates that at least 2,300 civilians likely died from coalition strikes during the Obama years. That's about 80 each month in Iraq and Syria. As of mid-July of this year, more than 2,200 additional civilians appear to have been killed by coalition raids since Trump was inaugurated, which is upwards of 360 per month, or 12 or more civilians killed for every single day of the Trump administration. State Department official who is dedicated to civilian casualties, he was the top official back in January. His name is Larry Lewis. He believes the Trump administration is making an incorrect assumption. Quote, "There is this misnomer, the mission's success is inversely proportional to reducing civilian casualties. That's not what the data said," unquote. When his position, by the way, was renewed by the Trump administration, He left the State Department, as many people have. Another former State Department official said, quote, "We have spent a long time advancing the idea that preventing civilian casualties is not only a moral imperative, it's an operational imperative. These lessons come directly from our military's counterinsurgency experiences in Afghanistan and are endorsed by members of our military at some of the highest levels. But so far, we haven't seen or heard anything that shows Trump understands that," unquote. Akhid al-Qadar, who works at an organization called Sound and Picture, which maintains a network of clandestine reporters on the ground in Raqqa, said, quote, "The coalition is not taking any precautions to avoid civilian casualties. The number of IS fighters in the city does not exceed 500. But if they're going to destroy a residential building and wipe out all the people in it every time they want to kill a IS fighter, then they will be liberating the city from both IS and the residents," unquote. In Raqqa, if you don't die from airstrikes, you die by mortar fire. If not by mortars, then by sniper shots. And if not by snipers, then by an explosive device, quoting a 41-year-old patient with Doctors Without Borders who has shrapnel wounds and lost 7 family members in the fighting. "If you get to live, you are besieged by hunger and thirst, as there is no food, no water, no electricity," unquote. 62 people were reported killed in airstrikes just on July 26th in residential areas, while 15 members of a single family, including children, were killed 2 days later. One more example, August 1st, around 50 people, mostly women and children, were killed after a coalition bombing struck a residential building. U.S. officials admit that children in the area are being infected by diseases carried by flies feeding off of corpses still buried in rubble. Lieutenant General Stephen Townsend, the commander of the U.S.-led war against ISIS in Iraq and Syria, claims the battle to, quote-unquote, liberate these regions from IS is, quote, "the most precise campaign in the history of warfare." The details on the ground clearly paint an entirely different story. A recent article by Laura Gottesdiener in Le Monde Diplomatique, which is also linked at the Tangents homepage and playlist, is called "Burning Raqqa: The U.S. War Against Civilians in Syria," provides, I think, an excellent analysis. It's an important read. Townsend's assertion reminds me of the Israeli Defense Forces. They would make the same claim about being the most precise military campaign, the most moral army, yet they would slaughter thousands of civilians, including hundreds of children, during the 3 recent assaults on Gaza in 2009, 2012, and 2014. Air Wars has tracked as many as 119 children killed in coalition actions since June 6th, and based on local reports, they say at least 87 or as many as 100 of those deaths appear to have resulted from U.S.-led actions. According to human rights groups and local activist reporters across Syria, recently the U.S.-led coalition and U.S. Marines have bombed or shelled in Raqqa at least 12 schools, a hospital, a health clinic, a college, residential neighborhoods, bakeries. Bakeries are very important because food is scarce, bread is scarce. And when bombs are falling all around you, you risk your life to go to the bakery. They've bombed at least 15 mosques, a makeshift refugee camp, and on and on. In May and June combined, the U.S.-led coalition, again, I say coalition, but 95% of the bombings in Raqqa are from the United States itself. The U.S. has killed more civilians than the Assad regime in May and June combined, more than the Russians, more than the Islamic State. This according to the Syrian Network for Human Rights, which is a NGO that has been monitoring the death toll and human rights violations in Syria since 2011. They also had this chart, which I thought was interesting. They've documented 188 massacres in Syria just in the first half of this year. The top three culprits, the Assad regime, 61 of the 188, that's 32%. The U.S., 58 of the 188, 31%. And Russia, 16%, 31 of the massacres. And according to the most up-to-date information, which is actually updated hourly on Twitter by Raqqa is being slaughtered silently. This is a group of media activists from Raqqa living in the city under great danger, as well as in exile. They say 946 civilians have already been killed in Raqqa from June 9th, more or less when the bombing began, to August 8th, almost 1,000 civilians dead. When the U.S. bombing of Raqqa was about to begin in early June, the U.S. dropped leaflets over Raqqa. They said to the civilians, flee, flee, leave. According to photos of leaflets published by Raqqa is being slaughtered silently, the warnings read in part, this is your last chance. Failing to leave might lead to death, unquote. The Americans know civilians face long odds escaping without being killed. They could be killed by ISIS because there are snipers looking to kill fleeing residents. They could be killed by landmines planted throughout the outskirts of the city by IS. But if they remain, then they likely will die from airstrikes or mortars. But the U.S., the United States is also killing fleeing residents. This is shocking. On June 5th, dozens of civilians, they heeded the leaflets, they heeded the warnings, and they gathered at a boat stand on the northern banks of the Euphrates, where they waited to be ferried out of Raqqa. But on June 5th, as the families were waiting to cross the river to escape the imminent U.S.-backed assault, airstrikes targeted the boats, reportedly massacring as many as 21 civilians. The coalition acknowledges launching 35 airstrikes that destroyed almost 70 boats between June 4th and June 6th, and this according to Air Wars. Lieutenant General Stephen Townsend, the commander of operations in Syria and Iraq, later boasted about the tactic, telling the New York Times, quote, we shoot every boat we find along the Euphrates River, unquote. The Euphrates and the nearby riverine land has been the site of dozens of documented civilian deaths in the past month, including civilian boats attacked and sunk, and numerous residents killed as they searched for drinking water, as clean water supplies in Raqqa have dwindled. In addition to attacking Raqqa with bombs and artillery shells, the U.S. took a page out of the Israeli Defense Forces playbook and unleashed white phosphorus across Raqqa. Photos, and there's a photo on the Tangents homepage, showed white phosphorus exploding over two residential neighborhoods. It's capable of burning human flesh to the bone. The U.S. military doesn't deny it. They say it's used to mark targets for airstrikes or to create smoke screens. But there are many credible reports of U.S.-led white phosphorus attacks in Raqqa. Steve Goose, arms director at Human Rights Watch, said, quote, no matter how white phosphorus is used, it poses a high risk of horrific and long-lasting harm in crowded cities like Raqqa and Mosul and any other area with concentrations of civilians. Horrific civilian harm from previous use of white phosphorus has generated public outrage, and this latest use of white phosphorus underscores the urgent need for states to strengthen international law relating to incendiary weapons. Meanwhile, as I conclude Gaza Corner, The activist group Raqqa is being slaughtered silently, says that 50,000 civilians are still held in IS-held parts of Raqqa. And this quote from a July 17th Air Wars article really got me. The article's called Coalition Civilian Casualty Claims Double Under Donald Trump. Quote, remarkably, when I interview families at camps who have just fled the fighting, the first thing they complain about is not the three horrific years they spent under IS or the last months of no food or clean water, but the American airstrikes. This according to Iraq researcher for Human Rights Watch, Belkis Weil. Many told me that they survived such hardship and almost made it out with the families, only to lose all their loved ones in a strike before they had time to flee. Meanwhile, State Department officials estimate that it will take months, if not years, to clear Raqqa of unexploded munitions and booby traps after IS is defeated. Much as it did in Mosul, IS probably has perfected its ability to conceal and plant mines and other devices that will maim and kill people long after the battle for Raqqa is over. The audio and the articles that inspire Gaza Corner are always stored at the Gaza Corner archive at tangents.com. Thanks to Kent Howard for always putting that together. I'd like to play two Syrian artists right now. On clarinet is a member of Yo-Yo Ma's Silk Road Ensemble. This is Kinan Azmeh, and the vocal is from Dima Orsho, also from Syria. They're performing with the Morganland Chamber Orchestra. On 91.7, this is Tangents on KALW, Gaza Corner.
Thank you.